I'm all about the good vibes, the good vibes. We about to have a good time. Leave my problems all behind, all behind. We living out the good life, yeah. I ain't gotta worry about a thing.
Oh no.
Had some obstacles I overcame.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh Lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.
With another episode on the Clutch Vision Podcast. I got another very, very special guest in the building tonight. Now, he's a young guest, guys. He's a very, very young guest, but very, very intelligent. I met this young man at a seminar that I was allowed to host a couple weeks ago, and I just had to bring him on because I loved his opinion. I love everything about him, his charisma, everything that this young man is doing. He has a very, very bright future in front of him. I know you guys are going to love him. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, my man, 17-year-old Michael Kangaju. What's going on, big boy?
Yo, 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 what's up? How's everybody doing? How you doing?
Oh, man, everybody is good, man. How's your family doing during COVID season?
Oh, we're just chilling, you know, staying indoors, washing our hands, doing everything we can to stay safe.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So you're getting ready to go back into school, you know? Yeah. So you excited it's your senior year?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. Senior year is everything I was kind of dreamed of. But, like, Corona kind of ruined it a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, man. That's crazy, man. Like, you know, well, hopefully you guys won't do what this year's class was, you know, able to do. And hopefully you guys actually have an actual graduation. Hopefully that right. happens.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the big things. Because I really wanted, like, you know, lock down that stage, just like get my diploma, you know, do my way and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely worked hard for that, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's dope. So let me ask you a question. So are you guys going into, so I know that there's remote learning and then there's students that actually want to go into school or their parents are allowing them to go into school. So right. What is your family choosing for you to do?
We're choosing to stay completely remote learning. I'm not going anywhere near the building. I'm just going to stay at home, do Zoom calls, everything online.
Yeah. Do you think that works better for you?
Yeah, I think it's just what's most safe. I'm not saying that if you're going to school, like, you're doing the wrong thing. Because, like, some people have to go there for, like, sports. My one friend, she does field hockey, and she has to go to school because she has to be involved in, like, going to practices after school and doing all that stuff for the sports. She's going, like, to college. It's very important for her to do that. So she really doesn't have a choice in that. It's not the safest thing to do, correct, but, like, at the same time, you have to do what has to be done for your own future. And taking those risks like that is unfortunately what they have to do in this pandemic, because it's not exactly the same thing anybody else would have, like 10 years ago if they had their senior year and chose to go to school or stay home.
Right, right. So I know that some schools are not, you know, maybe allowing the students, like, if they do choose remote learning, they can't do the after-school activities. Is that what's happening at your school?
Yeah, I believe so. So if I stay home, I don't think I can do soccer or jazz or choir or theater, which kind of sucks, but I have to look into the logistics of that.
Yeah, yeah. I know that my daughter's school is allowing them to do that. They're allowing them to, if they want to do remote, then that's fine. They have the option to do that, but they're not saying that they can't do the other activities, which I think is pretty cool, because when you think about it, the other activities, you know, you can social distance a little bit better, you know, with that versus being in school next to people, you know, walking in the halls and stuff like that. There's a load of people versus you being on a team where there may be 10 to 15 people, you know, depending on the sport, on a team. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, team sports, they're very important. Like, it's like the high school experience, and it's good for, like, moving on with their careers as athletes, and they're going to college or going to, like, whatever rec league or maybe even professional. I'm not sure, however good you are. So I feel like if it must be done, then just do it appropriate. The way we're taking precautions like that, like, for at least a soccer program, is you have to, like, get screened this questionnaire, fill it out. And if you have anything related to corona or anything that could be possibly corona, you can't really come. You can't, you just gotta stay home. But we take hand sanitizers, take our own soccer balls, and then, yeah, they just go at it. I haven't been personally involved with that because my parents are very sticklers about, you know, just like social distancing and whatnot. But for my friends, I think it should be okay for them, I assume. Because like, yeah. I've done some great successful things.
For sure, man. Yeah, man, like, you know, I pray that this thing, you know, breaks, you know, fairly quickly, because I would love to see, you know, you guys have your prom and all that other good stuff, you know, and experience those things. Otherwise, you may have to do a virtual prom or something like that. Maybe I've seen some crazy stuff, you know, on TikTok and, you know, people getting real creative. What's the craziest thing that you've seen?
We had a virtual dance party at our school.
Okay.
I didn't know, but from what I heard, it was actually kind of fire.
That's what's up. Word up. So let me ask you this, man. So you want to be an astrophysicist.
Correct.
That's correct, right? So explain to the audience, because listen, 17 years old, you know, I wasn't thinking about nothing about being an astrophysicist. I think that's amazing. So explain to our audience, you know, what that entails and what are your goals within that?
So being an astrophysicist, I really want to create like new laws of physics, because in quantum physics, it's very new and in development of a law of physics, because there are different brains and different ideologies are coming to what quantum physics and astrophysics is today. And it continues to expand and grow. I just learned about new particles and new wavelengths and new waveforms and modes of travel between mediums, which is very exciting because it creates these new advancements in science. Because now we know we can do this with that, go point A to point B, quicker, faster, more efficiently in different types of ways. And I want to help do that. I'm a mathematician in a way. So I want to help like line the math codes and all the algebra, all the matrices, and like combining all these particles in different arrangements, like their antimatter counterparts and the positrons and electron pairings, to be able to create a new science, people to build upon and continue to further advance humanity beyond the stars and into different galaxies. Because where we are right now, Earth is a very fantastic planet, right? But there's so much beyond it that we don't know about. There's like millions and billions and billions of light years beyond what we see through our atmosphere. And we have no idea what's out there. Aliens, most likely. Life cannot just be on one section of the universe. You know how rare that is, of an ever-expanding medium to only have one instance of a certain thing? Like, if there's only one planet in the whole entire universe, that's not the truth, because it's like it's so vast that it had to occur multiple times over and over again. It's right. Only like probability. So the probability that there's life on other planets, like it's pretty high.
Right.
So I would assume that we must take our knowledge of what we have so far on Earth to be able to just go on beyond and then learn from those that achieve better things for our own lives here on Earth, because that's what really matters, is advancing humanity to what it can be at its peak.
Man, that's deep, brother. The only other person that I heard speak like that is my 11-year-old son, Caleb, because he's into all of that stuff. Like, he is literally into, you know, the science and space and stuff like that. He actually created this company during COVID called Martian X. So his plans are to help, you know, humans eventually, you know, inhabitate, you know, on Mars. And right. You know, because I guess or whatever, at some point, you know, because of the way the Earth is and you know, it's deteriorating pretty much before our eyes, that no one's going to be able to live here is basically what he was explaining to me. So how did you get into this stuff? Like, what was the motivation behind it?
Really, it was just kind of like a spontaneous type of thing, because like I've always been, I guess I say, intelligent person, people with consistency, but with my curiosity, it gradually expanded. Every new thing I learned, every new thing I try to implement in different areas of my life.
Hang tight there, Michael. We're having some technical difficulties. On your end, it was sound a little bit choppy. So let's see if we can start that over one more time.
Oh, okay. So basically, it was kind of like a spontaneous type of thing in the way that people were telling me I was a quote-unquote an intelligent person. So I was like, okay, but I never really took it to heart. I was just doing me. I was just being me. So eventually, my curiosity gradually increased exponentially, I would say, to the point where I was constantly talking about quantum physics with my physics teacher over and over again. Shout out Mr. Wallace, and, you know, greatest physics teacher. But yeah, so we would have these conversations and we'd go over all these formulas and stuff like that. And it would just like engross me in what all this was. And I was so interested in like manipulating these variables and these equations that I would. And I've come up with different theories for, you know, quantum gravity in my own like notebooks about, and I did some algebra with matrices and maths. It's just like, I love it.
Wow. Wow. So let me ask you a question, right? So I've been seeing some stuff on the internet, and you got a group of people, and they call them the flat earthers, right? I don't know. Have you heard of this?
I'm well aware.
Okay. So you got the flat earthers versus everyone else who thinks that the earth is round. What is your take on, you know, the flat earthers and their theory on why, you know, they feel that the earth is flat?
I feel like there's a sense of like just wanting to be different in a way. Because I myself, I am a conspiracy theorist, I guess you could say. I like to think about like different government conspiracies. I don't get too deep into it, but I'm just like thinking about it, keeping it back of my mind. Because I feel like there's like something about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some, like, ill inkling of truth. Even if the whole theory is just like trash. But like, if they just want to like think that they know something more than somebody else, or they just, it was just plain ignorance. And ignorance in itself is the basic default state of humanity. Ignorance is born and bred into us. We only think about what we know, and we only use what we know to create different scenarios in our minds to move forward as a person. So when we talk about ignorance, it's only like gained when you're born, and then it just gets continuously like trying to degrade it from your body.
Right.
You gain virtue, different aspects of your life that be able to rid yourself of that one-track minded thinking of just like closing in on all your knowledge that you have in that point in time and simply using that as only reference point for moving forwards, which is a toxic ideology, which leads to most of the racism we see today, most of the, you know, blunders that we see in the politics and everything like that. So
right.
That's like my take on that.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing because, you know, my son was explaining to me the other day, he was just like, it's impossible for the earth to be flat because of gravity. And if the earth was flat through gravity, then we would be all sucked into the middle of the planet pretty much. Right. And the other thing is that I sit there and I think about it and I'm like, man, well, has anyone that thinks that the earth is flat ever been outside of the Earth's atmosphere to actually confirm that?
I mean, I dare you. I dare you. Walk to the edge of the Earth. Walk to the edge of the Earth. Take a picture and show me. Like he's not there. It's all right. Around. And like gravity is like a main point in that. Like it's all centrifugal. So it goes to the center, right? Because it is a molten core. It all moves around with tectonic plates, and it's like, I don't know, people just don't understand that. But, you know, it's the way you talk to people about ignorance through ignorance is what really gets them. Because you can't just go up to an ignorant person and be like, this is how it works, this is how this goes, and then you have to believe it. They're not going to believe you. They're just going to look at you like, are you crazy right now? I'm right. I'm doing what I need to do to be able to move forward with myself. And then it's never going to work. Because like that ignorant like wall is always going to block reason and logic from ever entering their mindset. So it's never going to work.
Right. And I'm going to segue into this since we're speaking about ignorance, you know, like, you know, we as a country, we've been going through some things for many, many years, 400 or 500 years, actually, you know, if you think about it, right? If we ball it all up. But more recently, the aspect of, you know, prejudice and things in that nature has been coming to light, you know, more and more and more. You've got social injustice, you've got police brutality, you've got, you know, even you've got people, it's basically people killing people, people that have bad hearts, you know, that are just in a lot of pain, and then they take that pain out on other people, right? As a 17-year-old, you know, man, what is your take on everything that's been going on, and what do you feel should be some of the solutions that your generation can bring to light for tomorrow's problems?
Well, racism, first of all, has always been a human construct. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else in the universe, racism doesn't exist, because racism was created by humans about the superiority complex for another race, somebody to get their benefits, and then disregarding the after effects, which we see to this day, about how racist people continue to like defy and destroy other races simply because their skin is darker or lighter, or they believe in a different god. And it's just toxic. It's so ignorant as well, because they have to realize that they're all people. Like, I'm black, you're black, someone else can be white, Asian. Doesn't matter. We all still bleed red. We all still have dreams. We have emotions. We all feel the same things. So are you really killing a black person, or are you just killing a person? Because you think that because they're black, they're more, like, tarnished or unworthy, unjudgmental. And that's, like, not even close to anything that should be going on in this world. People, it's like that ignorance, like I started talking about before. And it's only like combated with virtue. And virtue is a very important part of this world. It needs to be shared and spread more important. So virtue is the complete opposite, I guess you could say, of ignorance. And ignorance, it plays in part of the human nature. And so virtue is the antidote to that, which is sought after through wisdom. Are you familiar with Plato's allegory of the cave?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, it was about these three prisoners that were inside a cave, dark, deep underground. There was a fire behind them. They were chained to this wall, and all they saw was the shadow of the fire cast across the walls. It was all dark, but all they saw was the shadows. So they saw people walking by, but only their shadows, and their cattle, and their pets, and their vases, and their flowers, but all they saw was the shadows. That's all they knew. That's what they thought the world was. Just these black figures dancing around the walls. But then one time, a prisoner broke free. He scurried his way up and out of the cave, and he was blinded by the light. It shined so ferociously that he was completely taken aback. And then what he saw was the real world. He saw the trees and the nuances in their bark, the vibrance of the colors of the flowers on the fields, and people's eyes, the depth in their eyes. He saw all of that. Now he realized what the real world was and all these different experiences, what they had to be. But most importantly, he realized that there is still yet more to be seen in this world, as he knows that he has seen a lot, but he has not seen it all. And there is still much more to be learned, and he humbles himself in that pretense. And so once he goes back into the cave and tells other people, or the fellow prisoners, about what he saw, they're like, bro, what are you talking about? The world's right there. It's on the wall. It's black. It's the shadows. And they're talking, and he goes on for hours trying to tell him, no, you have to see the outside world is light. There's the sun. There's the moon. There's flowers. But they don't believe him, and they end up killing him. They didn't believe what he was trying to tell them. He was the virtuous one. He was virtuous because he went outside of his own mind and thinking, of his open-mindedness, to create this new entire world, a vast world for him, that was just beyond what he saw on the wall, dancing the shadows. He was willing to take down his previous construct and complex and completely recreate it for the sake of being able to move forward with his life and create a vibrant, more better way of living. And that's the most important part. But also on top of that, he realized that there is still more to this world, no matter what he learns at any point in time, that he can still learn and grow from, and he's never ever stagnant. He's never hit the plateau of information, because there's always new things to be learned, different people's perspectives from different reaches of the universe and from different minds completely. So he knows that he can never sit in his wealth of knowledge and close off the world from his mind, because he knows that there is still more to be found. And that will lead to the ignorance in the same way that he was in the cave. And he refuses to go back to that. And so what we see is now that ignorance is what plagues the world. And we have virtuous people like Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Rosa Parks, all those people, very virtuous, trying to change the world, open the minds of people. But then the ignorant people, like the people in the cave, they refuse to see it. They're like, no, this is how I see the world. This is what I want to do. And you're not going to change my mind about it. And so what happens is virtue is the most important key to defeating ignorance. And when virtue comes, ignorance comes in. Virtue does not work the same way it would as it would with a bunch of virtuous people. Ignorance impedes on virtue's functionality, but not its purpose. And therefore, when you move around ignorant people, you must have virtuous people to rise up against to be able to grow a new society in a virtuous way to like, completely discard all previous ignorant sections of mind, such as racism or sexism, like all that stuff. So we have to disregard it. We have to demolish that. And the way we do that is with virtue. And virtue comes from the rules. If we're ruled over with virtue, therefore the ruler, the rulees would be virtuous as well, at least to the most effective degree. Because when you have institutionalized virtue, instead of institutionalized racism and ignorance and disobedience and just like neglect of information, it will do the exact opposite of what it's supposed to do, as it were in an ignorant standpoint, so it perpetuates ignorance. And take virtue and do the same thing, perpetuates virtue, and that eradicates such things like racism, as I said before. So with that, it comes down to having the virtuous rise up to treat the ignorant as they would themselves to learn the virtue. But the way you talk to people about virtue is in the same way you talk about people about ignorance. So what happened is you, as a virtuous person, you can always talk to a virtuous person and there would be no argument whatsoever. There would be no denying of any conversation because you know that virtue is letting other people in and experiencing as many things as possible within reason, of course, and then be able to move on and build upon yourself to find new heights for your own self and for humanity at that point. So with ignorance, they refuse to do that. They refuse to build upon anything else. Foreign thoughts are very neglected in their minds. Mm-hmm. So you have to stoop down to their level in a sorts of way and just like ease your way into it. You don't have to go straight in and go with your virtuous and righteous self and dictate how this person should think, how this person should act, and how this person needs to live their life. Because then you're just as ignorant as the person you're trying to talk to. So what you really have to do is you have to mold yourself around the ignorance and just like reconform the way that they're thinking. You don't just grab a hammer and smash the vase. You have to melt it down and then you have to mold it with your hands and reconfigure it. And then once it hardens again, it'll be in this new figure to be able to hold what you need to hold, which is the new information of the world in this positive light that needs to be spread across the world. And this is what needs to happen as far as racism in America and what happens moving forward with any other type of human intent of ignorance that is in this world. So I would suggest the information that we send out, starting with the young people and even the leaders of the world today, the information that we send out must be of virtue. And your person must be of virtue. You can't just claim to be of virtue and then say, oh, I'm doing this and that. One of virtue doesn't necessarily always claim or flaunt about their virtue. They just live it. They're not out here saying, oh, I'm virtuous, I'm doing this and doing that. And they're all haughty about it. That's not what we do here. That's not what we do here. Right. So you really have to take it upon yourself and then move forward with that. And then mold the people, the ignorant people around yourself. Don't go out there full force, smash them with a hammer. It's going to break everything. So what you have to do is mold it. And then that's what we do with the information that we send out for the rest of the world, in my opinion.
Woo-hoo-hoo! I need some horns. I need some sound effects. I need some bombs right now, man. That joint was crazy, bro. Like I'm just amazed at your parents. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go to your parents because we need to sit here and first and foremost sit here and thank them for raising you in such an amazing way. Because I don't hear 17-year-olds talk like this. Not a lot. It's very, very like rare that you come across people who are very young, your age, and very in tune and speak with such elegance and proper and your own point. It's like you know what you're talking about. You're not just spitting bricks here or whatever. You seem like you are, you know, well in tune into what you're talking about. Did that come from, you know, your mother, your father? Like, how did they instill that into you?
I'm not even sure, but they're both very smart people. My mom is like, she's an engineer, she has a philosophy degree. My dad teaches business at Temple University. My sister goes to Harvard, so, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And ladies and gentlemen, he's 17 years old. I'm gonna say that again, he's 17 years old. With like, you sure you wasn't here before, bro? You sure?
Nah, this year.
Cause I'm like, yo, this dude had to be here like during like the 1930s or something like that, and came back or something. Like, it's that's crazy, man. What are some of your favorite books to read right now?
Oh, I'm actually reading or rereading Plato's The Republic. So that's a really fun book that I have. I also read The Symposium by Plato. I love reading the Greek philosophies, the shape of what the Western world is today. So like going back to the roots of what created our system to be able to change and manipulate it to what it needs to be for today's world, that's a very key important point. So I'm really interested in that philosophy.
Go ahead and re-answer that question one more time. I'm gonna just edit that out. So I'm gonna ask the question again. So what are some of your favorite books to read?
So I'm really rereading again Plato's The Republic as a, you know, a precursor to philosophy, because I love Western philosophy and especially the Greeks, because in the way that they shaped what the modern world for us in the USA is today through their philosophies and going back to the roots of what created our world today, to be able to reconstruct and manipulate it into what it needs to be for today, is a very important factor in what we need to do for like social justice and moving forwards and creating this new environment of virtue. So rereading those things, I've also read the Plato's Symposium, which is a very, very good thing about love and about, you know, brotherly love and like what it means to be, you know, different types of love, which is the very important part. Love needs to be a major part in this world today. And
one of the books that I'm reading right now is called Power Shifters by Michael Pitts. You should definitely, you know, pick that book up. I mean, what he talks about a lot is right now, I feel like God is giving me this word, shift. And I think right now in our society, that is the one thing that we definitely need. We need a shift in the atmosphere. We need a shift in the world. And what was amazing that he said was that, you know, we all have the power to pretty much set the atmosphere with the region that we live in, right?
Yeah.
Different types of things or whatever can set the atmosphere. You can set a positive atmosphere, you can set a negative atmosphere, whatever. But once that atmosphere is set, there's climate that takes over that atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. So that climate takes over that atmosphere, right? Now there's a stronghold on that. It's very, very hard to break a stronghold. You need something else, something different that's going to come in to actually break that stronghold. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that now we live in a climate of, you know, prejudice that it's inflicting. But here's the thing, what's going to break the, and this is a climate that we've been living in for years, right?
Yeah.
The atmosphere has been set, but we've been living in this climate for centuries, pretty much. Now, who has the power to break that stronghold? It's people like you. It's the younger generation, you know. What would you tell the younger generation, you know, to do moving forward in using their social media and stuff like that? Like, what would be your suggestion, you know, to bring about, you know, even more change, whether it be police reform, whether it be what goes on in the school system, whatever the case may be? What are some suggestions that you can give? If you're talking to all your peers right now, what are some of the things that you say to them?
We gotta speak up. Like, just because you don't on your Insta feed no more doesn't mean it's gone. Just because you don't see it on your Snapchat anymore doesn't mean it's gone. The problems are still there. They're wreaking havoc on this nation, and we have to speak out no matter what. Always sign petitions. Petitions help better our country. Always, like, make sure that you are doing something actively to help in any situation that you can for the betterment of our country, for the betterment of humanity, our sake. For everybody, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Everybody. This is a human thing, and humans have to solve it. No one else is going to intervene. It's no aliens that are going to come down and solve all our problems. It's us. It's what we have to do. And being the youngest generation, we're the ones going to set the tone for the new world and come into it and grow adulthood. So what we have to do is take the action now. We have to speak out, do our research, check our facts twice, and make sure that we speak out and do the right thing for the world. Not what's right for you. That was right for your friends and family and small group. That was right for your political party. What's right for the world?
Deep, brother. Everybody, you got to give my man some claps on that. Listen, guys, if you are watching this on YouTube, give me a thumbs up on the recommended. If you guys are watching this on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Make sure you guys give us a nice little review. Go to Kenny Clutch and Associates on Google. Give us a nice little review, little five-star review. We appreciate that if you guys are enjoying the show. Now, listen, man, you know, like I always say, share this with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, your abuela, abuelo. Share it with everybody. Share it with your stepdog, your stepcat, your step tarantula. I don't care who it is. Share it with your couch. Share it with somebody that needs it right now, you know what I'm saying? Because we are on with my man, Mike. Big Mike is what I call him. I call him Big Mike. That's my guy right now. Sure. He's dropping gems, you know, for all of humanity. And I think that I brought you on, man, because I really felt that, you know, the world needed to hear your voice, hear what you had to say. I think that a lot of times we, as adults, we kind of like tend to lean on our own because we've been through a lot of life. But in some cases, we need to, you know, take a step back to listen to, you know, the younger generation to see how you guys feel, you know, what ideas you guys have. Because honestly, it would truly, truly help, especially when you got a bunch of adults or whatever that are fighting and arguing every single day on CNN. So therefore, like, what kind of example is that? You know what I mean? But that's neither here nor there. I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, like, that's just what we see and what's put out to us. We see adults fighting all the time. And what kind of, you know, example are we truly, truly setting in the world today? So I wanted to bring you on to share that, man. Now, we're going through COVID-19 and stuff like that. And we're in the second half of 2020, right? Now, yeah. If you, Michael, had the ear of the entire world, this is what, let's say, average 7 billion people on this planet, something like that, right? Yeah. Let's say you had everybody listening to you right now, all 7 billion people that are listening to this podcast right here, right now, because there's people out there that's going through depression, anxiety, they're going through, you know, trauma, they're going through domestic violence, they're going through so much, and things that have to deal with COVID-19, but they're not even really being affected by the actual disease. It's just a fact that COVID-19 is affecting their livelihood or their business or what their family in some type of way. What kind of encouragement do you give to the entire world if everybody was listening to you right now?
No matter how you feel, no matter who you are, no matter where you are not alone. There are people who are going through exactly what you're going through, and they feel the same pains, and they feel the same way, and they know that it'll get better, and you should too. No matter what happens, things will get better. Things will move on, things will get better and move forwards in your life, and the only way to pave that new future is through yourself and your courage and your righteous path that you set for yourself through virtue to be able to make that happen. And I believe in you. No matter who you are, no matter what you did, I believe in you. Mm-hmm. Your past is not always define you. And what you do right now to make this change, make this shift, that is what makes you who you are.
Amen. We got another shift maker in here right now. You know what I'm saying? My man, Michael Kangaju, representing Cherry Hill West High School. You know what I mean? Jersey in the building. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Listen, bro. Yeah. Before I love having you on. I'm going to bring you back on the show, you know, at some point in time, you know, this year, because I think that, you know, you are an amazing guest, and I would love to have you back on as a guest. We're going to do one more thing before we shut it down. I want to play a game with you. That's cool?
Yeah. All right, I'm down.
All right, cool. So check this out. So we're going to play a game called In the Clutch, right? I'm Kenny Clutch, and we're going to play this game called In the Clutch, okay? So, so you know, in 2009, that was about 11 years ago, you was probably about 6 at the time. I started a company called In the Clutch Dance Crew, okay? And In the Clutch stands for Inspirational Dancers Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop. Okay? INDACLUTCH, Inspirational Dancers Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a letter, and you give me a positive word, only a positive word, that goes with that letter. Cool?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. C.
Courageous.
L.
Love.
U.
Understandable, I guess. I don't know.
T.
Tenacious.
C.
Caring. Let's go with that.
H.
Heroic.
There it is. There it is. My man, Michael Kanga Jew, is on with the Clutch Vision podcast. Everybody give it up for this young boy. Listen, guys. Listen, Mike, show out, show up. Where can the people find you at?
You can search me up on Spotify, on Apple Music, and on SoundCloud for my music at Michael Kanga Jew. Just follow me on Instagram at M Kanga Jew. That's M-K-A-N-G-A-J-U. On Snapchat, same thing, M Kanga Jew. And yeah, if you're in Cherry Hill,
it's Lynn. That's what's up, man. Now, real quick, I meant to shout your music out and everything, because you got a really, really dope record that you showed to us over in the call last week. What's the name of the record that you put together?
It was a video about Black Lives Matter. It was like a poem that turned into a music video. And it's very interesting. I liked it a lot. It's called Poetic Justice.
So guys, so this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send you guys the link. It'll be in my stories. So make sure you guys go ahead and catch that link of the spoken word, like a poem.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we get that up on my story. So make sure you guys go ahead and follow that right there. And what type of music are you doing?
I do all times. I do R&B. I do rap. I do.
What you know about R&B, dog? What you know about that?
I got some new stuff coming, all R&B pretty much.
It's got okay.
All the vibes. I produce all my tracks, make a lot of beats. I mix and master all my tracks, all my vocals. So everything you hear is all me. So
I want to hear some fire, dog. I want to hear some fire.
Yes, sir. You all
right, cool. We're gonna set that up. We're going to set that up. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for one more time for my man, Michael Kanga Jew, all the way from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We appreciate you coming on the show, big boy. Now, listen up, everybody. Please make sure that you go to YouTube. Give us a like on the thumbs up. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment. All of that good stuff on YouTube. If you're watching this on Spotify, if you're watching this on or listening to this on Anchor or Google, make sure you guys go ahead and give us a nice little review. If you would like, please go ahead and donate to the podcast as we are in the process of elevating and upgrading. 25% of your donation goes towards Girl Pride Africa. One more time, that's Girl Pride Africa. We're going to be helping girls and rescuing these young ladies that are sexually abused, going through domestic violence. A lot of these women are breastfeeding their babies, and they go 3, sometimes 4 days without eating. So 25% of your donations to the Clutch Vision podcast will go towards Girl Pride Africa. So just go to the front page on Anchor. Go ahead and sign up and become a donor for the Clutch Vision podcast, as we are doing something and we're taking shift makers all across the world. And we're starting right here in the United States and heading across Africa. Listen, everybody, follow me on at @KennyClutch_ on Instagram. Hit me up on Facebook, Kenny Clutch. And remember, like I always say, when we change the mind, we change the game. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow we'll worry about itself. And today is all we got. And if today is all you got, you make sure you impact today the best way you know how. It's your boy Kenny Clutch. Till the next time on the Clutch Vision Podcast. You check it later. Peace.
Be the same. Oh, Lord. 'Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.